Introducing BookSense XT, a powerful, portable, digital talking book device which can play digital book and music files, read many kinds of documents, record from a variety of sources including FM radio, and alert you anytime with its convenient alarms. BookSense XT has 4 gigabytes of built-in memory and accepts a secure digital memory card which can hold at least 4 times that much digital material. My name is B.T. Kimbrough, and I will be your tour guide for this audio companion to the BookSense XT. In this session, we will give you an overview of the many BookSense capabilities and a logical introduction to the unit's controls. In later sessions, we will present a step-by-step introduction, which will help you get started operating and enjoying your BookSense XT. This audio presentation is not designed to take the place of the BookSense XT user's manual. What it will do is give you the opportunity to familiarize yourself with the commands and capabilities of the BookSense XT as you listen to what the device actually sounds like in both simple and advanced operations. Here's just a partial list of the file types you can access with the BookSense XT. Through its media player, BookSense offers access to the following sound file types: MP3, MP4, OGG, WAV, WMV, FLAC, WMA, ASF, Audible Audio, AA and AAX. Through its DAISY player, BookSense offers access to DAISY 2.0, 2.2, 3.0, DAISY XML Digital Talking Book, ANSI, NISO Z39.86, 2002-2005, NLS content, RFB and D content, both Audio Plus and Audio Access, Bookshare.org DAISY content, NIMAS content, and certain types of digital rights management content. The Document Reader provides text-to-speech access to TXT, RTF, DOC, DOCX, HTML, XML, BRL, and BRF Bookshare Braille files. The FM radio can store 6 preset stations and can record programs in a range of WAV and MP3 formats. Messages and document readings are spoken by Kate or Paul, high-quality, natural-sounding voices which can be selected with a single keystroke. Audio output from BookSense can be enjoyed in 3 different ways. Listen directly from the convenient built-in speakers, connect a pair of stereo headphones, or link to a set of compatible Bluetooth headphones 2.0 or higher. Before we start exploring the unit's operations, there is one important note we need to emphasize. The first time you operate the BookSense, leave the battery disconnected at least until you connect the AC adapter between a compatible power outlet and the unit itself. At that point, once you make the connection between the supplied AC power unit and a working power outlet, the BookSense will boot up and respond with tones and speech in about 20 seconds. Once you hear these sounds, the battery may be inserted and charged. And now it's time to give the BookSense center stage as we begin to hear from the unit itself and explore its many features and surprisingly few controls. When you hold the BookSense in your hand, you can sense that there is a lot of power here in a very small area. What that means is that you have just a few controls to learn, but the controls will do many different things. There are actually 4 different modes or programs: the media player, the DAISY player, the document reader, and the radio. Probably the thing we should do before we turn the unit on and begin to experiment with it is to learn the names and locations of the controls, because those same controls will be used for many different things in the BookSense. I'm holding the BookSense in my left hand, and most of the controls are on the front, which faces me. At the very top of the unit, in the middle, is a slot for the carry strap. To the right of that, with a small tactile mark behind it, is the access jack for the headphones. To the left of the carry strap slot is another access jack. This one is for microphone and line in. It has no tactile mark behind it. Below that area, about an inch, is a long thin button that looks a little like a print letter I turned on its side. When you have battery power and you've set the time, you can press this button anytime, whether the unit's off or not, and it will tell you the time and the date.
2:22 p.m. and 52 seconds, Saturday, June 20th, 2009.
Right below the time button is the directional group. These are the controls you're going to use most of the time. The very top control in this group is the up arrow, and the arrows all have dots on them. If you run your finger right below that, you'll find a rectangular control. It looks kind of like a box is drawn on a button which is wider than it is tall. This is the menu button, and it's at the heart of the directional group. If you press and release this button quickly, it will open the main menu, which gives you access to all the different settings. If you press and hold that button, you're in the help function, which will describe what all the keys do in the particular program that you're in. Now, the up and down arrows and left and right arrows do the same thing in most programs, but all the number keys, which we're going to meet in a moment, do different things depending on what program you're in. So the help function will give you a lot of assistance in finding out what the keys do in each program. With the tip of your finger resting on the menu key, you are literally in charge of the compass. Move that fingertip just above the menu key, and you're on the up arrow. Move it just to the left of the menu key, and you're on the left arrow. Move just to the right of the menu key, and you're on the right arrow. Move just below the menu key, and you're on the down arrow. The up and down keys usually set the unit of movement, whether you're going to be moving by one file at a time or five files at a time, whether you're going to be moving by time, let's say 20 seconds at a time, or 1 minute, or 30 minutes, or an hour. The left and right arrow keys actually cause the movement to occur. So once you set the unit of movement with the up and down arrow keys in a particular program, then you use the left and right arrow keys to actually execute that movement. It'll be a little clearer when we actually turn the unit on and we get into the programs. But those five directional keys, the menu key at the middle, and the up, down, left, and right arrows will be the controls that you will use most in your operation of the BookSense. If you slide your index finger down below the directional group, down from the menu key, you have the down arrow, and if you keep moving down, you come to some sculpted keys, which are arranged very much like a cell phone touch tone pad would be. When I say they're sculpted, at the very left of the top row of number keys, you have a key which seems a little lower than the key to the right of it. If you slide your finger on over to the right of the row, you see the 3 key, which is also kind of what you might say on the first floor. But the key in the middle, the 2 key, is on the second floor. It's slightly elevated. This bi-level design makes it easy to know what key you're touching at any given time. And by bi-level, I think I can explain real quickly. Put your index finger on the 1 key at the left hand of the top row. Right below that, the 4 key is elevated. Below that, the 7 key is back at a lower level. And the bottom key, the star, or as we usually call it on the BookSense, the cancel key, is elevated. So every other key is elevated. It makes it easy to know when you've come to the end of one key and you're at the beginning of the next one. Returning to the 1 key of the left top, 1, 2, 3 on the top row, 4, 5 with a dot on it, and a 6 in the next row down, 7, 8, and 9 in the row below that, and the last or bottom row, star, 0, and pound. On the BookSense, they are escape or cancel, information, and the OK key. Of course, we'll be covering the functions of individual keys more when we turn the unit on. Now let's look at the left, right, and bottom of the BookSense. On the left side of the unit near the top is the mode key, and that will move you from the media player to the Daisy player to the document reader and the radio. Below that are the two volume controls with the volume up on top. Below the volume controls is the area for the secure digital card. On the bottom of the unit at the right is the access jack for the USB cable, which connects the unit to the computer, and the jack to the left of that is access for the power, which will charge your battery. There are no controls on the back. There is simply the compartment for the battery. On the right of the unit, there are actually 3 controls, 2 buttons and a switch. The top button in the group on the right is the play control. You hold that down for 2 seconds to turn the unit on or off. And below the play control is a control that has a set of dots on it to make it easy to distinguish from the play control, and this is the record control. And below that is the lock switch, which will keep the controls from functioning if you don't want anything to change. For instance, if you're taking the unit with you and you're afraid it might be turned on accidentally while you're in transit, lock the controls with the lock switch and you won't have to worry. Of course, make sure, once you get where you're going, to unlock the controls, or you might have a surprise when you try to turn the unit on. And that's the BookSense, a very small unit packing a lot of power. In our next session, we'll turn it on and begin to learn how to master its power.